Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game.
Oh, man, Stomping Tom Connors. You can tell he's from Canada, can't you? Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're devoting the next 90 minutes or so to hockey. We talk about a lot of different things here. It's, you know, hockey in Wisconsin has been played for over 100 years. And our first guest today, Mike Cowan, is the author of 5 books and many articles on Wisconsin hockey history. He has a website devoted to the history of Wisconsin hockey. He's a retired history teacher, former hockey coach. So talking with him about those early teams when prep hockey started, why we have no NHL team in the state. So what are your Wisconsin hockey memories? Did you play on a team? Who do you like to watch? Join in our conversation. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And Mike Cowan, thanks for taking time to be with us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
So, you know, we got a pretty long history. We're hockey here in this state, not as long as obviously Canada's, but pretty good nevertheless.
Well, when you think about it, I've got a picture of an outdoor hockey game in Wausau back in the 1920s. So when you talk about 100 years, you're absolutely right. And in this particular picture, there are probably close to 1,000 people around the boards watching this game back in 1924.
And it was outside.
It was outside. And it was outside for a long while. In fact, the university played a critical part in the development of hockey in Wisconsin. For 14 years, from 1922 until 1935, the university sponsored a team. They played on the outdoor rink at the Library Mall. In fact, the last coach of that team was a guy by the name of Art Thompson, and I'm going to come back to Art in just a minute as to the role that he played. But in any case, because of the Depression and because of unfavorable ice conditions, the university dropped the program in 1935. Yeah.
Marquette had a pretty good team, too, didn't they?
Marquette had a team. Yes, they did. Yeah, yeah. Marquette, Minnesota, University of Michigan, Michigan Tech. They had teams at along during that era.
Yeah, they're. So what was it like? Is the game much different now than it was then?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The game's so much faster, and the players are so much more athletic. The pucks are shot a lot faster. The equipment, especially for the goaltenders, is just incredible.
Yeah, I can remember my hockey skates when I was a kid, and they were not all like they are today. I can tell you that for sure.
But they were leather. And they were good skates.
Well, what were those first teams like? Talk about those first teams a little.
Well, when you go back to the 1930s, as I said, the hockey was dropped at the time. For the next 30 years, though, in Madison anyway, there was a senior team, the Madison Cardinals. And there were senior teams throughout the state, Fond du Lac Bears, Wausau Vets, Eagle River Falcons or Northern Airs. They had two different names. But these were town teams, just like your amateur town baseball teams.
Yeah.
You had your amateur hockey teams that travel throughout the state playing each other in a number of towns. There really wasn't much youth hockey until the 1960s. Oftentimes, if a player who played outdoors as a high school player would join the senior team and play with that team. And during this era, for example, there were only two NHL players that were born in Wisconsin, and both of them were raised outside of the state. So it wasn't until, it was interesting, it wasn't until the guy by the name of Dave Hansen ended up playing in the NHL back in the 1960s and 70s, and he was one of the Hansen brothers of the Slapshot fame. The next guy to come along, though, was a heck of a hockey player back in the 70s, a guy by the name of Craig Ludwig out of Eagle River, and he ended up playing at the University of North Dakota for a couple of years and eventually played, had a lengthy career in the NHL, winning two Stanley Cups, one for the Canadiens and one for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, and now you think about it, over the years, we've had quite, well, at least a few more, quite a few more. When I think about it, Wisconsin guys that wound up playing in the NHL.
Oh, for sure. In fact, I checked and double-checked today. There were 38 Wisconsin-born players, and that doesn't include Mark Johnson because he was born in Minneapolis. but there were 38, and that doesn't include the Wisconsin Badgers who were recruited from out of state. Currently, there are nine current players, and there are some heck of some really good players like Joe Pavelski, Ryan Suter. In fact, when you go back to a fellow like Ryan Suter, there's quite a lineage there because his dad, Marlo, or his grandfather, Marlo, played for this Madison Cardinal team. And then eventually Marlo coached the Eastside team, the Madison Lakers, and his sons, Bob Suter, who played on the Olympic team, Gary Suter, who was an all-star defenseman with Calgary, and now you've got Ryan Suter playing for the Minnesota team. So there's quite a lineage there in Wisconsin hockey from the Suter family.
Talking today with Mike Cohen, historian, hockey historian, today about the history of Wisconsin hockey. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share relating to hockey, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. I woke up with a cold this morning, so, Mike, if I lose my voice, just go on without me.
Will do.
Okay.
I got plenty of things to talk about.
You mentioned Art Thompson, said you wanted to get back to Art Thompson.
I do, because Art Thompson was the last coach of the Badgers in 1934-35. When hockey was revived at the university in the mid-60s, mainly as a result of Hartmeyer Arena being built so that you had artificial ice, the university added hockey. Ivy Williamson, the athletic director, took a step to add hockey. And the first two coaches were Art Thompson and John Riley. They were co-coaches for the first couple of years. And interestingly, Art Thompson is the grandfather of Eric and Beth Hayden.
Oh!
gold medalists from 1980? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Eric Hayden himself was a heck of a hockey player when he was growing up. He was a teammate growing up of Bobby Suter and Mark Johnson, but obviously chose a different path on the ice. But that was Art Thompson. That was interesting. Now, John Riley was also an interesting fellow because he was a high school senior at Madison West the year that Wisconsin dropped hockey. He went to the university, was going to play hockey there, but they dropped it, so he played tennis. 30 years later, after having a lengthy career with the Madison Cardinals, he was the co-coach with Art Thompson the first couple of years. He was an attorney in Wisconsin, in Madison, and at that time it was a part-time job, and he's one of the first people to lobby Ivy Williamson to get a full-time coach. And that full-time coach, and he was, John Riley was an advocate of hiring Bob Johnson as the first full-time coach, which he did. And at the time, I was a freshman at Wisconsin, so the next 3 years, I played under Bob Johnson at the University of Wisconsin, and Bob Johnson's story is just incredible, and yet no one, except for myself, has written a book about Bob Johnson. You have sports writers like Mike Lucas and Bill Brophy who have written books about the Badger hockey program, but what I did is I talked to Pete Johnson, Bob's son. And he had an idea of having a book about Bob Johnson, and I took it a little bit in a different direction. But what I did, along with Pete's help, I interviewed over 50 former players who played for Bob Johnson and got their story. And their story became the book, It's a Great Day for Hockey. And it was just, it's a great read. If you haven't read it or anyone out there haven't read it, go to my website because the book's still available. But it's definitely a tribute to Bob Johnson, who he was a salesman. When he came into Wisconsin, he sold hockey. In the late 1960s, there were a handful of high school hockey teams. In the next decade, communities throughout the state built rinks, and it was a tribute to Bob Johnson because if someone in a community was trying to promote hockey, they invited Bob to come and speak about hockey, and he did. He accepted invitations all over the state, and he was a salesman. He just promoted the game and just had such a charismatic way of about him that he convinced some people that hockey was quite a sport.
And, you know, you think about the history at the time. The UW-Madison, our football team and our basketball team were, let's say, weren't very good. There was a bad time period there. And really the only moneymaker for the athletic department was the hockey program.
Well, that's true. And the Dane County Coliseum at the time was the nicest arena in the country. And it was sold out in the early 70s, partly due to the fact that it was a winner. And the team put on a very entertaining display of hockey.
Talking today with Mike Cowan. Mike, a historian, has written a number of books on Wisconsin hockey. It's great to have him with us today. Questions or comments for him, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Nigel O'Shea, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking today with Mike Cowan, the author of 5 books and many articles on Wisconsin hockey history. He runs a website that's devoted to the history of Wisconsin hockey at all levels, a retired history teacher, former hockey coach. It's great to have him with us today. Certainly, if you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in. The number's 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Brad in Madison, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'd like to ask, I played for a city team in Chippewa Falls called the Chippewa Chiefs back in the late 50s and early 60s. I just wondered if your guest had any information on them.
Well, I talked to a fella from Chippewa who was going to send me some information a while back, and I haven't heard any. I know there's a fella. Did you ever come across Jim Roblicky out of that area?
No, I don't know that name.
Okay. He came a little bit later, but he was involved with the Eau Claire Rockets, which was a senior men's team. But you were probably, a few years ahead of that.
I can't remember the name. I know we played Eau Claire. We went up to Pine City, Minnesota. There were some other local town teams that we played during that time. A lot of fun, but I got separated from my teeth, so that ended my hockey career.
Ouch. You know what? There was a goaltender from Chippewa who during that era ended up playing over in Wausau. And his name escapes me right now, but I know he was out of the Chippewa area. Probably a goaltender that you may have been familiar with or someone you played with. So I don't know if you remember any of the goaltenders you played with.
Yeah, we had a guy named Dean Payne.
That's it. That's the guy.
He was a good goalie, but he had to imbibe a little bit before he'd get in the net.
Ouch. Ouch. But that was the fella. He ended up going over to Wausau because Wausau had a heck of a team during that era.
Oh, that's great. So, and Brad, the helmet you wore back then is a little different from the one that they wear today.
Helmet?
There was no helmet.
You know, no helmets, no mouth guards, no protection. I mean, when I started, we used newspapers for shin guards. But, how the game has evolved has just been fun to watch. And got to put in a plug for the Wisconsin women right now and the wonderful season they're having again.
Yeah, actually, Megan Hart is going to be our sports reporter out of Green Bay. Is going to be with us in about 15 minutes or so, and we're going to talk some more about that women's team. Brad, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. And Lori in Milwaukee, your turn.
Hi there, Larry. Thanks for the show. Great topic. And I was wondering if your guest knows about the history of women's hockey there in Madison. There's a group of gals in their late 60s and 70s that are about to retire that started the first UW women's club team there in Madison and helped develop the growth of and leading to the formulation of the varsity teams there at the college.
Yeah.
They're a great group of girls and really promoted women's hockey throughout the years, and they're hanging up their skates these days.
And, you know, I tell you what, the women's hockey, girls' hockey, and then women's hockey has really grown in the state. Mike, a comment.
Well, wasn't there a goalie? Was her name Mary Jones? Does that name ring a bell at all?
Yes, that's one of them. And the Madison Edge women's hockey team is, I guess, we're going into retirement this year. Their last game is February 23rd at McFarland, I believe.
Oh, wow.
That is so cool. Lori, thank you so much for calling. And right. Stay listening, because Megan Hart's going to be talking about the current women's hockey team with us in just a bit. So
well,
thank you.
Speaking of women's hockey, there's a gal out of Madison. In fact, she's from she married into a hockey family. She married John Bice, and now her son is playing with the Badgers. But she had a thought, an idea, and I was looking at it, but I'm leaving it up to someone else to write a story about the growth and the development and the history of women's hockey in Wisconsin, because you go back to the 1990s and over the last 30 years, there's a story there. These gals very easily could be interviewed, but it's probably a project that I would turn over or encourage some gal out there to take on.
Yeah, yeah. Lori, thanks again. You can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Maybe you've got an experience to share or a question. I hope you'll join us. Or you can email at ideas@wpr.org. Speaking of emails, Bob in Minocqua emailed that three of his children went to UW-Madison and became great hockey fans. Part of the reason was they went to Madison, or why they went to Madison, and became great hockey fans was because it was football, the Don Morton era, when football didn't go so well.
Well, that was the, late 60s, early 70s?
Early 70s, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Well, there was nothing like, I had season tickets when I was a student, and there was nothing like going to the center to watch those hockey games. It was an experience. Friday, I had Friday night tickets, but then there was Saturday night tickets as well, of course, and they would be sellouts both nights.
And you could go to the beer lounge between periods.
And you could go to the beer lounge, but yeah, you're exactly right. Well, let's take another call here. Bill in Wakefield, Michigan. We'll turn to you. Hi, Bill.
Oh, thank you so very much. I just want to give a great shout-out from Wakefield, Michigan here. We had some great pushers here in our years of high school here with Jim and Jerry Anderson at Carol Anderson as our cheerleader, and Neil Londo, Joe Dolfaro, Moon, Little Moon Sane, Red Kostarich, and Keith Clark, and Gabby Burnell was a close friend of Kevin Ludwig's, and he had a bar up here called Gabby's, and he would usually come up here and rally, but we used to play on our small lake here, Sunday Lake in Wakefield. We'd take plow trucks and plow out and play on real ice, and we went all state with 9 guys 2 years running, so it was pretty impressive, very grateful it kept a couple kids out of prison.
Yeah.
What years would that be?
We were back in the 80s, so not too far ago. But, they had a Superior Tree Service up here, and that's who sponsored the kids, through the hockey, because we didn't have much funding. And in our town. So it wasn't through, it was like a co-op team. So it wasn't through the high school. It was kind of like privately funded. And we had a rubber factory where we skated and had our hockey rink at.
You know, this, Bill, as you were talking, and Mike, I think you mentioned this too a little bit, those leagues and those teams reminded me of the home talent baseball that we have going yet today here in the state.
Well, with the hockey, you also still have senior men's teams
yeah.
that are going. In fact, the Fondy Bears have had a team since 1934 without missing a year. During the war years, World War II, they were still able to play a handful of games.
Bill, thank you again for calling. And Lori, of course, is talking about the women that have been playing together. Now they're into their 60s, and they're still playing. They're playing their last game just coming up now. So, and they started as young kids, so great history there. Ron in Wausau, it's your turn. Ron, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, appreciate the program.
Well, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I haven't seen Mike for a long time. I think he came in as a freshman as my last year at Wisconsin.
Ron Lozinski?
Yep.
All right.
And I played the first 3 years of the program. One of the things I wanted to share with Mike is that picture about Wausau, that picture was on the Wisconsin River. Every year they had a big winter carnival, and they played a Midwest hockey tournament. And in fact, Art Thompson, I played for him, he indicated that the University of Wisconsin played an exhibition game on the river there with the Chicago Blackhawks.
I remember, and I don't remember it because I wasn't alive then, but I remember reading about that for sure.
And it was interesting. In those days and shortly after that, Wisconsin had much better hockey than the state of Minnesota. And what happens after the war, in World War II, up in the air during the war in the Iron Range in Minnesota, of course, they need all that iron for the tanks and the planes and stuff. And they had so many people there, they didn't know what to do. So the company started building recreation buildings, and they made some hockey rinks under the roof, natural ice. They did not have artificial, it was natural ice. And that caught on so much, and it spread down to a lower part of Minnesota. Wisconsin at that point never caught on with enclosing the rinks to prevent it from the sun and the rain and the other stuff that would come on.
And you know, Ron, that's a great point. I guess I hadn't realized that, but you're absolutely right.
Eagle River was probably the first enclosed hockey rink in the state, and that was natural ice for a long time. And then after that, Milwaukee had they made some ice for the ice capades and stuff, but then Brown County, Green Bay was the first one to really come up and start with the Bobcats. And the other thing, Mike, I noticed you just made a little slip there, and that was the Mosinee Papers. Mosinee Paper team had a great team over the years. They won quite a few state championships and a real rivalry between the Madison Cardinals.
Well, there were rivalries between Mosinee and the Cardinals and Mosinee and Eagle River for sure. That was a heated rivalry, as you well know.
Fights would break out on occasion?
Well, Ron, you can talk about that because I'm sure you were involved in some of those.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is talking about hockey players. There was one great hockey player came out of Mosley, was from the name Stan Grunjewski, and that was in the 50s. And the Montreal Canadiens invited him for a tryout, and they tried their darndest to get him up to Montreal. But he was married at the time, had a family, no sponsors, wasn't able to do it.
No.
When he'd catch that puck, the crowd would just say, goal, goal, not G-O, but G-O-E-L, and he'd go down and score.
Well, I've met Stan, you know, in later years, and, of course, I researched a little bit. But when you talk about, you know, you talk about Mosinee and Eagle River, those are two programs that there also should be a book written about. But I'm kind of reaching the point where I'm running out of energy. So, Ron, maybe you could do that.
Yeah, I can tell you the first game I started, we didn't have high school hockey in Mosinee when I started out. So when I was in eighth grade, I started playing with the senior team. And my first game was up at Eagle River. They had signs all over it. It says, no smoking, no smoking in the building. And all you could see 10 feet above the ice was just a cloud of smoke.
Oh, Ron, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. And, you know, I'm really glad you mentioned the Iron Range up in northern Minnesota. Wayne Coffey is going to be coming on the show here in about, 15 minutes roughly. He's got a book out that has been re-released called The Boys of Winter about the Miracle on Ice Olympic hockey team. And at least three of the key players from that Miracle on Ice team came from the Iron Ridge of Minnesota, where they learned how to play hockey, and they learned how to play it kind of the right way. And I know Wayne Coffey is going to have some things to say about that as we move along. Jay in Sun Prairie, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Jay.
Thank you. I thought this may be interesting to your guest. My uncle, Weldon, lived in the Madison area, lived in Madison in 1960, or post-1960 for just a few years, but he helped establish the youth hockey program in Madison.
Not Weldon Olson.
That's correct.
Weldon Olson?
Yes.
Yes.
He was an Olympic hockey player.
Yes, he was, in 1956 and 1960, where they won the gold medal, of course. And he helped establish the youth hockey program in Madison, I understand, with a man named Fenton Kelsey. And the Hartmeyer Arena was built right about that time also here in Madison. Unbeknownst to me, I moved to Sun Prairie 35 years ago. And I found out from my Uncle Weldon, because when he lived here, he played hockey after his Olympic career. He played some hockey with probably, I think it was known as the Madison Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he played with a man named Bobby Rompery, who, as a matter of fact, lived in Sun Prairie until his death. He was not born in Wisconsin, but he was a resident of Waupun until he moved to Sun Prairie. Bobby Rompery had a interesting statistic. He scored four goals against Finland in the 1952 Olympics in an 8-2 victory. So he was a star that lived in Wisconsin. Neither my Uncle Weldon or Robbie were born in Wisconsin. However, they certainly lived here.
It sounds like it. Jay, thanks a lot for calling in. Mike, you knew that name right off the bat.
Well, Weldon Olson was from Marquette, Michigan, and he was from the Olson hockey family. They had a ton of boys that ended up playing hockey, good hockey players. And Fenton Kelsey, when he built that rink in Hartmeyer, brought in Weldon Olson to help develop the rink and brought him in to work for him in his marketing business that he had. So he was a heck of a hockey player. Bob Rompery, he started the hockey program in Waupun, and I played with Bob Rompery on the Fondy Bears when he was in his 40s. And wow, he was a heck of a hockey player in his 40s. So can you imagine, in 1952 on the Olympic team, he was a premier player.
A listener emailed in to ask to hear about the Green Bay Bobcats. Go ahead.
The Green Bay Bobcats came about, as Ron Lozinski mentioned, when the Brown County Arena was built in the late 1950s. They brought in a senior men's team, amateur team, and it was a heck of an amateur team. It had a number of players, American players, who probably could have played in the NHL. But you had John Masich, you had Bruce Rayuda, you had a ton of players. In fact, if you go on my website, there's a link to a fella by the name of Roger Dyer, who has written all kinds of articles about the Bobcat players. It's a great read. He's done at least 20 of them. But the Bobcats were instrumental in developing hockey in that part of the state, starting in the late 50s, and eventually as junior hockey took over that. They were part of the United States League. They had senior men's teams in Iowa, in Rochester, Minnesota, in Green Bay, Marquette, Michigan, and eventually that league evolved into the junior league as senior hockey had kind of run its course.
You know, we haven't talked about Milwaukee at all. And, you know, we've got the Milwaukee Admirals. I think they started in the 70s, didn't they? And
they did. Yeah, Milwaukee hockey goes back to the 30s with high school programs at Shoreward and at Country Day Private School, which is now University School, and they still have a heck of a hockey program. But there was a rink there in the 50s that had some artificial ice, and you had a number of senior men's teams in the 50s. The Milwaukee Wings, I think, was the name of one of them. But eventually the Admirals came along, and the Admirals you know, are in the International League right now. And the Bradley Center, when it was built, was initially built by the Pettit, Lloyd and Jane Pettit, with the idea of bringing in an NHL team. I think because of the proximity to Chicago, that just never happened. But the Admirals currently are a top farm team for Nashville.
Yeah, for the Predators.
Yep.
Predators, right? Yeah, Nashville Predators. Yep. And yep. And they the team itself is pretty popular. They draw good crowds, and they've sent players to Nashville.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, I tell you, this is a lot of fun talking about the history. And tell us I haven't asked you, I don't think, for your website. I think we have it up on my page on WPR.org/Larry. But for those interested, give us that website.
WisconsinHockeyHistory.com. And for the Milwaukee folks, there is an article written by a guy by the name of Frank Mazzacco, who was a play-by-play guy for the Admirals years back. Now he's over in the Twin Cities, and I think he's still doing play-by-play. But he wrote a nice article about the history of the Admirals that's up on the website. There's a great catalog of pictures. And there's some short stories, and then there's reference to the books that I've written. But it's a pretty good website. I was just looking over this morning, and I hadn't looked at it in a few months, and I thought, you know what, this isn't too bad.
Well, Mike, it's a pleasure really to be able to talk with you about Wisconsin hockey history. I hope you stay listening, because we're going to keep on the hockey, and I know you're going to be interested in Wayne Coffey's book. You probably read it, called "The Boys a Winner." But thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
Larry, it's been my pleasure. This has really been a treat.
Mike Cowan, a historian. In fact, he was a history teacher, as a matter of fact, retired history teacher, former hockey coach, played a lot of hockey, and he has a website, WisconsinHockeyHistory.com. So there you go. Take a look at it. It's pretty interesting. One of my favorite teams is the Badger women's hockey team. They are a great team led by a great coach, and our sports reporter Megan Hart from Green Bay on board with us now. Megan, are you there?
I am.
Well, it's good. Here we've got the UW-Madison women's hockey team. They won the national championship last year, and they're doing pretty well this year as well.
They certainly are, yeah. It's been a great season. They're 25-2-1 right now, so that's a lot of wins.
25 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me. Well, and on Sunday, they set a scoring record. Tell us
they
about
did.
That.
Yeah, they beat St. Cloud State 11-1 in Madison. It's the first time that they have ever scored double-digit goals at the Le Bon Center. They're actually leading the country in scoring offense, and they had 8 different players score goals on Sunday. So they've got quite a deep team this year.
You've been to the Le Bon Center. It's a wonderful facility, isn't it?
It is, and the fans there, they just love the team. They sell out all their games, and it's a great atmosphere.
I love going there. The thing about going there is the kind of the intimacy of the rink.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, fans of this team feel really close to them. It is an intimate atmosphere. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun because they win so many games there, too. You know, you're going to usually see a good performance.
And I forget what the seating is. What is it? Around 3,000, isn't it? Something like that. It's kind of it's reminds me a little of, in some ways, of the Hartmeyer Ice Arena, at least in terms of a fan experience. Because you're kind of right on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. UW and Minnesota go back and forth in the rankings, and it's gone Wisconsin's way recently, at least.
Yeah, it has. In the last couple of years, Wisconsin has managed to get the better of Minnesota. I think Minnesota leads the all-time series against Wisconsin, but. Wisconsin had a couple really big wins against Minnesota in late January. They won two games, which gave them the lead in the conference standings, and they played really well in those games. So now Wisconsin is number one in the conference and ranked number one in the country. Minnesota is number two in the conference and ranked number two in the country. So it's quite a rivalry, and they actually played each other last year in the national championship. Wisconsin shut out Minnesota 2-0. So I think the Golden Gophers probably feel like they have a lot to prove.
Yeah, and that was the semifinals of the Nationals, wasn't it? Or was it the finals?
I think it was the finals.
I was. I know there was some irritation in past years that Minnesota and Wisconsin would often wind up playing each other in the semifinals that ensured an East team would make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of people wanting to see like Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal play in the finals when they keep meeting in the semifinals. But it's a great rivalry, and I can see maybe people from the East Coast wanting to have a team in there. But last year it was exciting to see really probably the two best teams in the country play in that finals game and to see Wisconsin win it.
You mentioned the East Coast, and I'm thinking of some of the players. Daryl Watts, she won the Patty Kazmaier Award as a freshman at Boston College, but she transferred here.
Yeah, she did. She said that she wanted to come play for a team that had a chance of winning a national championship. She'd had a lot of personal success at Boston College, she said Mark Johnson, the coach, was a big part of the reason she decided to come to Wisconsin. She said that she thinks she's improved as a player since she's been here. And I asked her, she actually said that she, being on the East Coast, went and watched Wisconsin and Minnesota play in that finals game last year. So maybe that's part of the reason that she chose the Badgers. But she's just had a great season so far coming into Wisconsin. She's leading the country in points and assists, and she's playing on an amazing first line. And so they're a big part of this team's success this year for sure.
Yeah, Sophie Shirley is on that line, and Abby Rock is on that line as well. And that's probably the best line in the country.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. Sophie Shirley is tied for the lead in the country with goals. And Sophie is a sophomore. Daryl is a junior, so they should be together next season as well. And Abby Rock is an experienced senior. She's leading the team in plus minus. So the Badgers have scored 36 more goals while she's on the ice than they've given up, which is pretty incredible. And when I talked to her before the Minnesota games, she said it's just been really fun to play with a couple of really smart teammates who make good passes and they put the puck on the net, and they just seem to know, you know, what each other is going to do, which she said can be pretty rare, but is a lot of fun when it's clicking.
Well, it's a tough ticket to get sometimes, but I strongly encourage anyone who hasn't seen the Badger women play to see them play, and I think you'll probably second that motion.
Oh, yeah, it is true. It can be a challenge to get a ticket, but it's a lot of fun to watch. They, as a team, like I said, they have a lot of depth, so, you know, they can score no matter who is on the ice. They see the ice really well and move the puck well, which makes it a lot of fun as a spectator. And they've got a really strong goalie in Kristen Campbell,
yeah.
And I love great saves, so she's Her save percentage is just over 90%, and she was actually the MVP of last year's national championship game. So she's going late into the season. She's definitely battle-tested.
Yeah. Megan, thanks a lot for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Megan Hart, our sports reporter, she works out of our Green Bay offices. It's great to have her with us. We didn't talk much about Mark Johnson, who is the coach of the Badger women's team, but he played a very important role in what we're going to be talking about next with Wayne Coffey, author of The Boys of Winter. It's a great book, and it's going to be a lot of fun talking with him. I'm Larry Mueller.